pray, please? Gracious Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for what you've been sharing with us already today. Thank you for Amy's testimony, Lord, and just the wonder of the way you've worked in her life. And we thank you. Thank you, Lord, for Abby's message, Lord, and about resting. And Father, I would just pray right now, Lord, please help me to be yoked with you, Lord. You are the stronger of us, and Lord, I know I'm weak, and Lord, I know that the words I have here are nothing unless they're anointed by your Spirit. Father God, I just want to thank you that you are here with us, and you are going to teach us what it means to abide in you. Please open our hearts, Lord, we pray now, in Jesus' precious name. Amen. Amen. Well, how does one follow that? That was just, thank you, Abby, that was just amazing. And praise the Lord. So, I'm thinking good about this, and Ian and I love to go on walks, as you probably know. As far as we're concerned, it's the cheapest form of entertainment. But we see the most beautiful scenery. And there are times when there's a hill in front of us. There's a challenge. We've got to get up that hill. And I don't know about you, but I like to have something to aim towards, a goal there. And if there's this steep hill, I sort of look and think, well, okay, I'm going to get to that tree, or I'm going to get to that bend. And, you know, that landmark is almost calling to me, come. You know, that's where it is. So head down, deep breath, and up we go. And I get there, and that's where I get a rest. And Ian wasn't very happy when I put this in, but he's quite often I rest until he gets back up to me. And I'm ready to move on. But that's at a point where we're at the moment. We've got to that point of what rest is. But that's not the end of the walk. You know, there's still further to go. We've got to that tree, but there's another tree beyond, or we've got to that bend. Where does the road go, or where does the way go then? So I was thinking, actually, abiding is the cup of tea at the end. When we've made it, we've got there. So we're at reflection time now. Abby led us about how Jesus wants us to rest. Praise the Lord. Now, we're women, and rest is not a word that very often appears in our vocabulary. I thought Abby led us very, very succinctly in that. You know, there's always something else to do. There's always things to get on with. So how do we rest? And, you know, she gave us that beautiful picture of the yoke. But I want to look beyond that as well, and that's where we're going to learn about abiding. To me, it's that active doing the resting, if that makes sense. To abide, in the dictionary, means to remain stable or fixed in a state. But how do we remain in a state? We put down roots. Now, I'd like you to picture with me, I'm into the walking scene, it's a woodland scene. As we walk through the woods, we see sunlight reflecting in the sparkles of the water. And we realise there's a stream winding its way through the woods. As we draw close to the water, we notice the banks are full of trees as well as vegetation. And some of these trees are almost growing out of the water. I wanted to get a picture of this because we've seen it so many times where you've got a stream or you've got a pool and there's the trees and they're not just on the banks but they're actually in the water itself with the roots exposed and above the water. Now I've put all the scriptures on your piece of paper, save having to look it up. But so let's start with Jeremiah 17:7-8. Blessed is the man who trust in the Lord and whose trust is the Lord. For he will be like a tree planted by the water that extends its roots by a stream and does not fear when the heat comes. But its leaves will be green and it will not be anxious in a year of drought, nor cease to yield fruit. The tree that we see here is abiding beside the water and its roots are in the stream. The result is that in times of heat and drought, it will not suffer, nor fail to yield fruit. It receives water and goodness through those roots. We're given a similar picture in Psalm 1, when the righteous man is like a tree firmly planted by streams of water. In verse 3 it says, he will be like a tree planted by streams of water, which yields its fruit in its season, and its leaf does not wither. And in whatever he does, he prospers. So from these verses that we've been looking at, we see firstly there's a connection. The tree spreads its root beside the stream and takes into its very being the life-giving water, even in times of drought. So our first thing in connection, we have to be united to Jesus. And I believe that's where obviously Amy shared about coming to him. Secondly, there's a dependency involved, but it's not a reciprocal dependency. The tree here is dependent upon the water. The water is not dependent upon the tree. And in that respect, we're to rely upon Jesus. And thirdly, there's a continuance scene. The tree just won't go wandering off. However, as it remains, so the leaf will turn green in its season. And it's a personal relationship with Jesus that keeps us fresh and joyful in the Lord. So we are to remain in Jesus, and that's the abiding side. So there is a result of being united to Jesus, we rely upon Jesus, and we remain in him or abide in him. And the result of that is we will not cease from bearing fruit. Mm-hmm. And if we look back in Jeremiah 17:8, it says, nor cease to yield fruit. And in Psalm 1:3, verse 3, it says, which yields its fruit in its season. So, we finally come to the verse that we've all been waiting for. Jesus' explanation in John 15, verse 4. Remain in me, and I in you, just as the branch cannot bear fruit of itself, but must remain in the vine. So neither can you, unless you abide or remain in me. So that's what I mean, that the abiding is sort of the active part of resting. When we rest, we take in nourishment for ourselves. But the Lord calls us to remain or to abide in him so that it will then not just refresh us, but produce fruit in our lives. Mm-hmm. And if we think of that tree analogy, the tree rests during the winter months, which is known as dormancy. The tree's metabolism or internal processes slow down in that time. It doesn't consume as much energy, and it will stop growing in order to conserve energy to stay alive during a cold winter. So by remaining, the tree prepares to produce its fruit in its season. Now we have to ask what this fruit is that's being referred to. So there's several fruits mentioned in the Bible. Right, firstly, it means developing a Christian character or Christ-likeness. And this includes what Paul describes as the fruit of the Spirit. If you look at Galatians 5:22-23, but the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such things, there is no law. I just love what Paula had, that she has that on her phone. These are just amazing. We could spend hours just going through every one of those. But also, our faith in Jesus is not in a vacuum. There are complements to faith, as Peter urges us in 2 Peter 1, 5-8. Now, for this very reason also, applying all diligence. In your faith, supply moral excellence. In your moral excellence, knowledge. In your knowledge, self-control. And in your self-control, perseverance. And in your perseverance, godliness. And in your godliness, brotherly kindness. And in your brotherly kindness, love. For if these qualities are yours and are increasing, they do not make you useless or unproductive in the true knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. So that the first fruit is developing that Christian character of Christ-likeness. Quite a challenge, I think. Secondly, as we live a life of good works, we produce fruit. So right character will result in right conduct. Colossians 1:10 says, so that you will walk in a manner worthy of the Lord, to please him in all respects, bearing fruit in every good work, and increasing in the knowledge of God. We've also got the view, the cyclical view, where Paul knew his work was fruit, and fruit would also result from his work. So in Philippians 1:22 it says, but if I am to live on in the flesh, this will mean fruitful labour for me, and I do not know which to choose. He was tossing, do I live, do I die? Thirdly, we've got those who come to the Lord through our witness, our fruit. And praise God for the teams that go out to the Maidstone on Saturday mornings. Romans 1:13, I do not want you to be unaware, brothers and sisters, that often I have planned to come to you and have been prevented so far, so that I may obtain some fruit among you also, just as among the rest of the Gentiles. So Paul there, he's going out, he's reaching out to others. Mm-hmm. And through our witness, we see people, we pray, we will see people come to the Lord, and that's fruit. Mm-hmm. We also bear fruit with our lips, through acknowledging God by thanking him and giving praise to him. Hebrews 13:15 says, through him then, let's continually offer up a sacrifice of praise to God. That is, the fruit of lips praising his name. And fifthly, we bear fruit by giving money. We don't often think of this as a practical fruit, but it just struck me, cattle on a thousand hills belong to the Lord. He just chooses to move them around where there are needs. Mm-hmm. So Romans 15:27-28. For they were pleased to do so, and they are indebted to them. That if the Gentiles have shared in their spiritual things, they are indebted to do them a service also in material things. Therefore, when I have finished this and have put my seal on this fruit of theirs, I will go on by way of you to Spain. And that fruit is where they were giving the money that Paul just paid. So, if we keep in fellowship with Jesus by abiding in him, so his life is working in and through us, then our lives are filled with God's love. We give financially, we praise the Lord verbally, and we do good things practically. We witness to the lost boldly and are joyful, peaceful and patient. Then we are seeing fruit in our lives. We're to walk in faith. Oh, sorry. How? This is the important thing. As women, we want to know how we can practically work this out. I don't know about you, but I like things. This is what we have to do. Firstly, we're to walk in faith. How do we walk in faith? What does it mean? It means by reading and studying the word, so we can daily preach the gospel to ourselves. Mm-hmm. Colossians 3:16 says, let the word of Christ richly dwell within you with all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another with psalms, hymns and spiritual songs, singing with thankfulness in your hearts to God. I think that's a beautiful one, actually. We had that at our wedding. But it is that, it's the word of God, and we've got such wonderful songs as well, which is just straight scripture, and it feeds our minds, doesn't it? You know, some people can, you know, read the word and it speaks, some people like it sung, and that speaks to them as well, and just praise God for it. And then we've got in Philippians 4:8, finally, brothers and sisters, whatever is true, whatever is honourable, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is commendable, if there is any excellence and if anything worthy of praise, think about these things. And on a Thursday, we've been listening to Kay Smith talking about pleasing God. And this last one was really challenging about renewing our minds. And I think this is so true, is what are we feeding our minds with? And if we are feeding them and allowing them, because I do think, I mean, we're all people who, you know, think things just go through and you think this and you know, your mind's always active. But what are we thinking about? Are they those things that are honourable, right, pure, lovely, commendable and excellent? It's a challenge to me as well. Yeah. How? Also, it involves confession of sin, so that nothing hinders our communion with the Lord. And we read in 1 John 1:9, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and righteous, so that he will forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Praise God for that. And it also means obeying him. The undergirding of all of this is to obey the Lord because we love him. John 15:10 says, if you keep my commandments, you will remain in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commandments and remain in his love. So, having got this far, is there a special feeling that enables us to know we're abiding in Christ? You know, do we get bells ringing or something happening? No. No, it's never like that. But there are evidences which are clear. So we've mentioned that there will be fruit in our lives, but also we find we experience pruning. And that pruning is so that we bear more fruit. John 15:2 says, every branch in me that does not bear fruit, he takes away. Every branch that bears fruit, he prunes it so that it may bear more fruit. And we've got a plum tree in the garden. And yeah, we do try and prune it. I'm not sure whether we do it correctly. But, and you know, you just think, how's that going to work? You know, you see the farmers out on the fields and they chop down those trees so much. But yeah, that is it. It's creating more fruit as a result. Secondly, we have our prayers answered. Praise God. John 17:7. If you remain in me and my words remain in you, ask whatever you wish and it will be done for you. And praise God, you know, he does answer our prayers. Sometimes with a yes, sometimes with a no, sometimes with a wait. But they're always answered. Then thirdly, we experience a deepening love for Jesus. In John 15:9, it says, just as the Father has loved me, I also have loved you. Remain in my love. Fourthly, we experience a deepening love for other believers. And praise God, we can have this time together. And it's just such a beautiful time to be with other believers. John 15:12-13 says, this is my commandment, that you love one another, just as I have loved you. Greater love has no one than this, that a person will lay down his life for his friends. And also, we experience joy. And you can't explain that joy to people at times. You know, sometimes it's, you know, we can be going through difficult things. But there is a joy, there's something. It's not dependent on circumstances. It's a joy that is within our hearts. I don't know if you remember the children's chorus years ago, you know, J-O-Y, J-O-Y, this is what it means. Jesus first, ourselves, yourself last and others in between. So, yeah, Jesus first, yourself last, and others in between. So in John 15:11, these things I have spoken to you so that my joy may be in you and that your joy may be made full. Now, I think probably I was expected to look at John 15 about abiding. And I looked at it in some respects, but I thought just to finish off, I want to read that. But I think, if you don't mind, just close your eyes as I read it and just let the words speak into your heart. Let the Lord minister to you. I am the true vine, and my Father is the vine dresser. Every branch in me that does not bear fruit, he takes away. And every branch that bears fruit, he prunes it, and it may bear more fruit. You are already clean because of the word which I have spoken to you. Abide in me, and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit of itself unless it abides in the vine, so neither can you unless you abide in me. I am the vine, you are the branches. He who abides in me and I in him, he bears much fruit, for apart from me you can do nothing. If anyone does not abide in me, he is thrown away as a branch and dries up. They gather them and cast them into the fire and they are burned. If you abide in me and my words abide in you, ask whatever you wish and it shall be done for you. By this is my Father glorified, that you bear much fruit, and so prove to be my disciples. Just as the Father has loved me, I have also loved you. Abide in my love. If you keep my commandments, you will abide in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. These things I have spoken to you, that my joy may be in you, and that your joy may be made full. Heavenly Father, we just want to thank you for those wonderful words, Lord, that you do want us to abide in you. Father, you call us to come to you. You ask us to rest in you, to take that yoke upon ourselves, Lord, as we join ourselves with you. But Lord, you also ask us to abide, to remain, to put down those roots in you, that we might bear fruit for you, that we might serve you and love you more. And Lord, as we go through our lives, Lord, please help us to do that. Help us to be open to you, Lord. And we give you thanks and praise for this wonderful time we've had together. Amen. Amen.